We're going to be talking about being renewed today, and it's been talked about many times before, but I really feel like the Lord is wanting this to be a point of challenging us to move forward in a renewed way. And I was just meditating on this, of course, and I don't know, I'm blaming the Spirit for this, but he caused me to think back to a comedic shtick. And so I had to look it up because I thought of it, but it was done by Eddie Lawrence. Anybody remember who Eddie Lawrence was? Of course not. because he was back in the 1950s sometime, beginning with the 51 down through. And that was my era of growing up. And life was much simpler than sort of. Actually, I didn't have any responsibility for much of anything, so of course it was simple. But his shtick was, he began with this sad, morose music. And he would say things like, "You say your heater didn't come on all winter, and now that it's summer, it's coming on and you can't turn it off. Have your shoelaces just broken? Or on your way to work, you found that your car had a flat tire, and so was your spare. Is this what's bothering you, Bunky?" And then the music transformed into this Azusa-type march thing. He said, "Well, lift up your head and hold on tight. Don't give up." And that was the end. But, it was just... It's one of those things as a kid, you think, aha, that was cool. Yeah, that was fun. No, but he had a whole bunch of stuff. It's kind of like what rhymes with grug. One of those things. You ever heard that one? Don't you haven't missed a thing. Don't worry about it. Okay. But there's a lot in our lives. This is what I was leading up to that cause us to have concerns. We can look at our day and we can say, "Man, what a day I've had." Everybody ever said that? "Man, this day couldn't get any worse." And then you sneeze and you drop your false teeth in your soup. And you're in a fancy restaurant. Now, is that what's bugging you, Bucky? Well, lift up your head and hold on tight. Okay. but what gets us through is knowing that, and I've said this so many times, I'm so glad God is in charge. God's got this. God knows what's going on. He has declared through his scriptures and in a personal relationship with him that he has my back. He has my future. He has what is going to happen next, and it's going to be for the best possible scenario that has to do with his kingdom. And since I'm all about his kingdom, that's good news for me. If you're not about his kingdom, that's not good news. Because God is about training us to where the kingdom is the focus of our life. It has to be. Because God is always going to be working in his kingdom on our behalf so that we are working on his behalf. God wants us to be there. His desire is to be there. He gave his only begotten son to die so that we could be there. That's intense. That is beyond what we have ever known or even considered. So it is knowing our reward is not in this life, but is a part of something that is eternal. It's something that will not pass away. It is something that will always be. And every part of God's design works to fulfill what he created the world to be. And he is always making that come together so that it functions as he designed it. God just didn't decide one day he wanted to make something fun. He had a plan. And so we see creation is continually echoing this plan of restoration. You know, when left to its own, the earth reclaims its grandeur. No matter what we do to it, we leave it alone, it will come back to life. No matter how hard we stomp on those weeds or pull them up or try to poison them, they'll come back. That's how God created this world. It's always going to be restored, and we are in the spiritual part of that restoration. So God is continually renewing his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So things that have come to ruin through misuse or lack of use are being turned for good to bring a new thing that is going to build not just his kingdom, but his people in his kingdom. Now, David captured this concept of being renewed that truly reflects the patterns, as he said, of eagles. So I was, you know, that caught my attention. And it comes in Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. It's there on your sheet. He says, we know this very well. This is a famous verse, and it's even been put to music. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, I've heard a lot of messages about how eagles go into this time of molting, and how they knock their beaks off and pull their feathers out and spend 150 days on a mountain waiting for it all to grow back. And then I've heard you know, people who are birders say that you know that's not really a realistic view of what eagles do. I don't know. So I was looking at this and saying, why eagles? What is going on with eagles? And if you have had a chance to watch what an eagle does, is they will catch thermal. And without hardly flapping a wing, they will circle. And each circle will take them higher. And it's just not so that they can you know, enjoy the rare atmosphere of great heights. It's so that they will be in a position where they can spot the prey that they are hungry for or that just happens to be out that morning and dive and achieve a speed of 150 to 200 miles an hour in that dive. And so whatever they're diving for has no chance of escape. I mean, it's just like he's there, it's gone, and he's having a good feast, you know. So knowing this about how eagles hunt, knowing how eagles are able to soar and how this functions, how they do this in a circular fashion, it puts me in mind that this is the way God restores us. It's the way he renews our position so that we are able to overcome, so that we are able to move in a very decisive, speedy way to overcome and accomplish something that he has assigned us to. So I thought this was very interesting. And our youth, he says, so that thy youth is renewed. Now this word renewed is hadash, is the Hebrew word. And it is talking about repairing or to augment what is already there. That concept of renew means that something is there and needs to be refreshed. It needs to be taken care of in such a way that it will be stronger. or it will be restored back to its way it was in its youth, in its beginning. And this is significant because this is something that Jesus taught on, and we'll talk about in a little bit. But it is about bringing something back to its youthful strength. Now, how many of us want to go back to our youthful strength? I got a voice in the back that says, pick me, pick me. You know, without a miraculous intervention, you know, our bodies are going to continue to age and find limitations in what they're capable of doing. But in the spirit, we are to be renewed. We are to go through this cyclical restoration, this cyclical rising up to a greater height so that there can be that power release. Our spirit will not and should not be aging. It should be a youthful spirit. It should have the energy of the youth. It should have the creativity and the desire and the energy of moving forward in what God provides through His grace. So this concept of being renewed indicates that something has already been established and that its function needs to be regenerated. It needs to be augmented. It needs to come into a greater measure of what it used to be, or back to what it used to be in the beginning. And so as I meditated on this insight, I began to see a strong similarity between what being renewed is about, that David is talking about, and what the process of becoming holy and functioning as a saint is all about. Being holy certainly is God's directive that He emphasized over and over to Israel in His Levitical directions. When He talked about, this is what I want you to do, it's because I want you to be holy, because what? I am holy. I want you to be like me. I want you to be able to commune with me. I want you to have a relationship with me. I want us to be able to be on the same level of responsibility and on the same page of what we're doing. You know, Israel was not on the same page with God. And so they had to spend 40 years in the wilderness so that the next generation would be the ones to go into the promised land. What do you think was happening during all that time? Well, we're told that as they wandered, their clothing didn't get holes in it. Their sandals or whatever footwear they had was not wearing out. So there was a miraculous provision going on. There was manna from heaven. So this next generation was learning very well that God wanted to provide, that God wanted them to function with Him. And the first generation could testify to the fact, we're here in the wilderness because we didn't want to do that to begin with. So there was teaching going on. Being holy was God's directive for His people to function in a identity that was separate from everything else. He had called them out to be separate from other people, to be His people. They were to represent what God was wanting to do from the very beginning of creation. It wasn't about, well, it was about, but it wasn't only about keeping that promise to Abram and changing Abram's name to Abraham. It was about God fulfilling His desire to create a situation where the world could be redeemed, not only in the creation itself, but in mankind that was supposed to partner with Him in the creation. Of course, that was through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But He was calling them to be holy, to function in this identity, to be separate, to be those who would truly understand His heart. God has not changed. He still wants us to be His people, to be set apart, to be holy. And we know well this word holy is hagios. And it speaks of becoming new, becoming refreshed. It comes from the word hag, and this word hag talks about partnering with God to restore whatever part of his plan that has been hindered or prevented. So it's much like the work of being renewed in this way. But where the work of hagios is about partnering with God's plan, this renewing has to do more with personal commitment to carry the burden of our commissioning from the right hand of God's throne of grace. Being renewed goes along with our partnership as the redeemed who come by the word of God to continue to be changed from glory to glory. So it is this renewal of being changed from glory to glory that the eagle demonstrates or illustrates as each circle advances him further and further up. He is moving to a new glory of being able to incorporate that work of descent. So it is in this context that we become successful in the things that God has prepared for us that require our renewal. So the Hebrew equivalent. Now here's a connection that I wanted to make. So we have our renewal that is carrying us in a personal way in our relationship with the Father, so that we can partner as saints in a holy way with what he's doing. And in this functioning as saints, there is a equivalent word in Hebrew of hag, and it comes from the word hagag, which speaks of this moving in a circle. It depicts a creative cycle of God's ways. And it talks about the restorative devotion to what God originally intended. So it takes our restoration, it takes our renewal to be in that place where we are going to move with the Father in his righteousness to be holy, to be a saint, to function as a son with righteous purpose. And here we have David talks about putting on the new man. So the circle of the eagle put him in a position for success. That continual motion, that going forward. And we have circled on the breath of the Holy Spirit. We are mounting up on the wings of eagles to come to one glory so that we can move to another glory. Now we have, over the years, I believe, understood a glory of the Father. That we have come to a place where we are functioning in his purpose, and he has been offering his protection around us. We have been moving in this, and now there is a time where we are looking for a greater measure of his glory upon us. And so we are preparing ourselves to go forward in a new way, like we've never done before. And this is going to require change in us so we can gain the effective velocity to fulfill our assignment. God has prepared us to meet the enemy in a specific way. And so this being renewed into the glory of God is that part that is preparing us to move as He knows we will be successful. Any other way will not be successful. We can just look at the sons of Sceva just as an example. They went without the glory of God. They went without the protection of God. They went without the word from the Lord to do that. They decided that they were going to use the name of Jesus as a cantation that would drive out an evil spirit. And they came without the permission of God. And so what happened? The evil spirit said, you know, I know Paul, I know Jesus, but I don't have any idea who you guys are. You don't have any authority over me. And it jumped on them, tore them up bad, and they had to run off naked. So there is a way that we have to confront the enemy. There is a way that we have to be prepared. We have to be renewed so that we will move according to the way God has prepared for us. And it is for this joy of partnership that we are given this point of restoration. We are given this ability to bring what God wants, to bring His glory forward. We need to remember that the glory is really about the privilege of partnering with God. And so God is always calling us to a higher partnership. And we are ready to take on the burden that He is assigning us. So when we take on the burden of God, we have to know that we are bringing... We are bringing ourselves to the depths of His heart and to participate in the rhythm of what He's about to do. There is always going to be a progression. There's always going to be a smooth flow from God without hesitation. It is as a rhythm. And so we come and we begin to function in the rhythm of God. And in that, we find that we are successful with what the Father is doing. It is in this glory that God comes for the purpose of initiating a fresh word to us, that we might be able to be in partnership with Him. And in this, we find the provision of His grace that defends and protects. No matter what the body looks like. So there has to be a daily renewal. There has to be this time where we refresh in the ways of God for each of us. We have to have a time where we are putting things back in order. We have to have a time where we take the right perspective on what's going on around us and not run on what the mind and our emotions are trying to get us to do. We have to recommit to carry only those things that God has given us to carry and lay down those things which are not commissioned for us. We can't look at someone else's ministry and say, I want to do that. We have to do what God has given us. We have to be who God has made us to be. Because the enemy is always bringing misaligning thoughts for us to partner with. He's always trying to get us off course, off track. And sometimes that old man thinking comes back as a comfortable way of dealing with the new things. Second Corinthians 4, 15 through 16. Paul says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So this word renewed is the Greek word anakino, and it is made up of two words that speak of being refreshed or freshened again. In other words, there is more to come. There is a supply that's going to continue to bring this refreshment. This word is a derivative of the word kainos, which speaks of something new being released in God's perfect timing. It is the ability for us to recognize what God is doing new in our framework of who we are, of our identity, and adjusting ourselves to accommodate it. Adjusting ourselves so this is the new way we do things is to access wisdom and understanding from His perspective, to take His truth and make that application upon us. How is this going to affect me today? We don't want to be saying, okay, this is something I'm going to strive for. Maybe in a year I'll have it down. This is something immediate. This is something for now. Our inward man has to ignore what is happening on the outward man. Whatever is going on with our outward man has to be seen in the perspective of what God is doing with our inward man. We can't judge God's provision or God's care by what's happening to our outward appearance. It always has to be how we are receiving His word and making that application. How we are changing inside, how we are beginning to see the reality of what God is doing and how that is going to change what we do. God wants us to do this on a daily basis. It has to be on a daily basis. It has to be something that we wake up to. Up there in verse 15, it says, "For all things are for your sakes." Now, this word "sakes" speaks of the channel of an act. It is the thing through which something comes. So what he is saying here is what God is doing in us as we fast, as we prepare ourselves, will overflow all of our expectations. What we do to lay aside those things that are distractions to us, we fast them, we don't partake of them, we leave them aside, we are going to function in a greater measure than we thought possible. It will overflow, and this overflow will manifest in thanksgiving. It is then from this thanksgiving that the glory of God, which is His fresh thing that He wants to do, will be released in us, in you. And we have to know that the enemy can't stand against this. He will not be able to take us out of this place. He has no authority. He has no power. So we need to realize that because of our position before the throne of God, some new thing that God wanted has come about. Daily, we are influencing the spirit realm. We are partnering with the Father to bring something about that He has wanted from the very beginning. And what has come about is beyond anything that we could ever imagine. And so our thanksgiving, which is our personal commitment and pursuit of God's perfect will come through the path of grace. It is this progression that gives God glory. It is our recognition of the visitation of His fire that is the functional, operational burning that we have just come from as we move into grace. Since David's not here, I just want to say how thankful I am that he came up with that concept that is going to be on the wall out there, that train coming into the land of grace from that land of judgment and burning. This is the Saints Express. We are moving in this. Amen. Oh, he's coming back. Shh, don't tell him. So it's in this realization that we keep on keeping on. And we faint not. We are looking ahead to see the blessing of what God has asked us to do rather than the extent of the sacrifice that it requires. In other words, we're ready to give it all. And it may cost our lives. Great. I'll do that. Jesus taught in a parable this kind of principle. It was about a landowner hiring men in the morning to work for him. And he went out in mid-morning and found some more that were just standing idle, and he hired them to work. He went out at noon, found some more, hired them. They went into work. Mid-afternoon, he found some more, he hired them. They went out in the field and worked. And that just an hour before closing, an hour before the sun went down, he found some more not working, and he hired them to go out and work. And when they all lined up to get paid, they all got paid the same. You know, of course, the guys who were hired in the AM were saying, hey, that's not fair. We worked all day. And so the reply of the landlord is recorded in Jesus' teaching is Matthew 20, 14 through 16. He says, he looks at the AM people and he goes, take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. It is not lawful for me to do what, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. In other words, they should have been grateful for the opportunity to work and get paid. That was their agreement. That's what they signed up for. And they had no say over what the master would choose to do with his cash. So in God's kingdom, your value is measured by your identity, not your assignment. We are blessed because we are part of the workforce that God has called. Many are called, but few are chosen. Few choose to be a part of His workforce. We have chosen to be a part of His workforce. This is our value. What others have been given to do does not make us less or more. We are not over someone else. We are not under someone else. We are all working for the Father in His field. And our value is in that we are there. This was a view that Jesus had kept him going on the path to the cross. He did not see his sacrifices as lifting him up to be greater than any other man. It was the fact that he was obeying the Father. And his call was for everyone to obey the Father. When he talked to Peter and said, you know, Peter, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. It wasn't because Peter was greater. It was his assignment. And his greatness was the fact that he was agreeing to function with the Father. And so when Peter denied Jesus, it didn't cross him off the list or make him less. His value was in that he was committed to serving the Father. Our reward is in partnering with something that has eternal value. That is our value. That is our purpose. That is who we are. It is the looking forward to the application of our identity for the breakthrough that is coming. That's what renews our strength. This is what brings us thanksgiving. This is renewing. And this renewing is about laying down our past sense of worth to receive new assignments. We come before the Father, we've talked about so many times, with an empty hand. And this is our preparation for this season of grace that we will have as partnering with the Father in a fresh way that we have never done before. We can't rely on, okay, I'm used to that, I know how to do this. We have been prepared, but what He's going to ask us to do will cause us to trust Him. This has to be our daily thing. It's something that we need to declare to the Lord as we begin our day. What I partnered with you yesterday in was glorious, and I'm very thankful, but I'm laying that aside so that I'm ready for the next glory of today. We want to ask Father to activate those things that have been reserved for what we are about to move in today, that we might be renewed in His glory. So this renewing is about becoming whatever the Spirit of God is requiring of us for the season that we are presently in. Paul is telling the Colossians that their truthfulness will be seen as they put on the new man, which is renewed. This renewing is a transformation thing that has to be activated. We have to do it. It has something that we have to do. Let's look at Colossians 3, 9 through 10. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed, that's our word, in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. So this renewing comes from knowledge, which is to be the discernment of the fullness of God's heart. What God really values, what God is really wanting to do, how God is really wanting to relate to each of us in a personal way. It requires a renovation of our thought processes as we perceive what our day is going to bring us. When we wake up, we don't want to sit on the edge of our bed with a dread for what lies before us. We say, oh, I'm going to dread this day because this is going to happen. This is going to feel so bad. This is going to be a terrible time. There's so much uncertainty. I just hate what's going to happen. We need to say, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for what you've equipped me with so that I will stand and be transparent. Those who see who I am, what I say, will be seeing truth. They'll be seeing the reality of my identity in the kingdom. Paul declares that our renewal is to be in the spirit of our mind as we put on the new man. The spirit of your mind, the way your mind processes things has to be influenced by this wind of the Spirit. It's that renewing, that rising us up, that rising our thinking so that we are no longer focused on those things that are temporary, but we are seeing the things that are eternal. So Paul is talking about a total change in the way we allow our thoughts to guide our actions. Our thoughts will be influenced by the Spirit, and we are choosing to input what we have learned into our conscious thought processes. And we need to be those people who see things and right away we're thinking of how the Lord is working. Those people who specialize in different aspects of commercial life, when they see something, they see it in the commercial avenue. They look at it in that frame of mind. We need to look at things in the frame of mind of the Spirit. And this is going to affect our emotions and our desires that try to lead us to take the most comfortable way out, the most comfortable track to avoid the stress of having to receive the training of God. God disciplines those who loves, and we don't need to be complaining about that discipline. We need to be rejoicing in the fact that God loves us enough to allow us to experience these things, to transform us, to renew us, to be able to put on the new man. This is something that fits into the lesson that Jesus gave his disciples. It talks about becoming a child. Matthew 18, 22 through 3, it says, "And Jesus called little children unto him and sat him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." This concept that Jesus is talking about of being converted to a childlike position is to go to that point of new beginnings, is to go to that point of starting fresh, of being renewed, of putting aside all those things that have wounded, corrupted, bruised, things that have been disappointing, things that have not gone like you expected, put those aside and become a child in expectation of what God is going to do as your father. To trust him as that point, there's nothing else you're going to trust in. We are to be converted into this. Converting speaks of a twisting around to go back to the beginning, which is, what we've known as repentance. It describes that point of being able to take off the old concepts of how we used to perceive things and putting on that new concepts, putting on that new understanding, functioning in a total new fashion so that we are not led to do something that we used to do, but to do things according to the Father's directive. We are becoming those who are ready to be taught the new thing. So we have to make ourselves young, basically. We want to go back to that place of expectancy for that new thing, an excitement, an anticipation, a looking forward to, a total trust in what the Father is for us. And essentially, this is the foundation of what it means to be renewed. It really is. To take down what has been established in our way of thinking, to become open to the new thing that God is wanting to do through us. This is a daily work that involves taking off the old man and putting on the new man. Because there's always something. There's always that part that needs to be transformed, that needs to be renewed. We want to become that channel through which God is doing something that he wants done. We have to realize that we are being transformed, that we are being renewed daily to accommodate what God has prepared for us. Each day, it's going to be that time where God is saying, okay, I'm going to renew this. This has become stale. This has become worn. I'm going to transform it now. I'm going to restock it. I'm going to refurbish it. It's going to become stronger than it was. It's going to become a greater measure of what used to be there. It's going to be revitalized. It's going to be strong again. And this is what's going to go forward. This is our circling of renewal. It prepares us to move quickly as the eagle to claim the day on behalf of the Father. We have new horizons before us. Our renewing is his partnership with us. So let us see ourselves as people ready to receive and trusting as Abram did. He said, he's a father of faith. He looked at the things that weren't as though they were. God said it's going to be, even though everything in the natural pointed otherwise. There was no way. It was impossible for anything like that to ever happen because of circumstances, because of things that were known at that time. And God renewed his strength. So let us be ready for the new things God's preparing for us. Let us be renewed. Let us receive that circular transformation that puts us at new levels of his glory. Amen. Father, we thank you for what you have made provisions for each of us. We have no other way to move forward but through your provision. Father, we just keep opening our eyes so that we can see your heart and your ways for us, and what you are doing in us to renew us, cause us to be ready, to cause us to be stronger, to cause us to have strength beyond what we've expected. We thank you, Father, for all your ways. We thank you. We thank you for that your glory will be manifested. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.